Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made, but large Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
All right. Happy spring storm weekend to my listeners here on AM 740 KVOR. This is Michelle Morin. How about that spring storm that we had, friends? Did you get the 10 to 12 inches that was forecast? Well, we didn't out where we live. I live kind of outside of the city limits, and I live on that northern section of town where they were forecasting, I think, like 10 inches of snow. We didn't get quite that much, but it didn't really matter. We had so much snowfall and blowing snow that it was like the Arctic tundra out where we lived. And I have a story to share about that. But first, did you notice that yesterday was the Climate March Day? Yeah, it was the People's Climate March all across the nation. And in Denver, in the snow, they were protesting global warming. How about that? Global warming, is that not the most ironic event that you could ask for? It said several hundred people, according to, I think this was Denver CBS, it said several hundred people turned out, and they've got pictures of these folks, and they're bundled up in their winter wear, hanging on to their signs, and there's not a thing about global warming in their signs. They're talking about greed, the greed of capitalism. Let's see. Across the nation, there were other signs. Change the political climate. That was one of the popular signs. Administration change, not climate change. Oh, okay. So what they're really telling us is this isn't about climate change anymore. It's just in the name of climate change, which is always used to control you and me, ultimately. Here's some more signs that were held around the nation. Environmental racism is real. Climate chaos is a healthcare crisis. The stupidity is always a shock. Trash capitalism. Make love, not CO2. All right, we're going to start things off a little backwards. I was going to save this audio for later in the show. Do you know who Bill Nye, the science guy, is? All right, there are some really trashy episodes. He's on PBS, and I need to do some more homework. I think he might have been supposed to be in like a children's show originally, and now he's become a left-wing arm, and there was a, I'm going to have to find the audio, Jason. There was another audio this week. He had some group of women and men singing about disgusting sexual things on Bill Nye the Science Guy show. But back to my original audio that has to do with this war on climate change. He had an expert on his show this week, and he was talking about the CO2 emissions that are such a threat to the world. And I want you to just hear the exchange. This is, my friends, this is the left. How badly they hate you and me and our kids.
Average Nigerian emits 0.1 metric tons of carbon annually. How many does the average American emit?
I did that with my coffee this morning.
Yeah. 16 metric tons. Wow. Is
so
what the
160
average
emit. Times.
Yeah,
exactly. And so our two kids are way more problematic. The Nigerians with an average 7 children are not the problem when it comes to climate change.
So should we have policies that penalize people for having extra kids in the developed world?
So I do think that we should at least consider it.
Well, at least consider it is like do it.
One of the things that we could do that's kind of least policy-ish is we could encourage our culture and our norms to change.
Oh. Encourage our norms and our culture to change. Did you hear that? Nigerian children only emit 0.1 tenths of metric tons of carbon, but children in the civilized world emit 16 metric tons. Well, gosh, guys, maybe we should just become a third world country so that all our children only emit 0.1 metric tons of carbon, right? Is that what they're saying? Oh, no, no, no. We'll do the reverse. We'll penalize you people who have more than two children because our two children emit, they're a huger problem than just the seven that are in the average Nigerian family. Yep, this is what goes on. This is going on in on PBS. This is a narrative, and they're not joking. You hear them, they're not joking. My friends, the root of this is just, it's anti-capitalist. They hate prosperity. They hate the fact that you and I can have a family of two children or more and prosper and bring good kids into this country and good kids into this world who add value to this world, and we're not suffering, and we're not, we don't have these, you know, third world looking children who only eat a bowl of rice a day and who can't get clean water and who have dysentery all day long because they only emit 0.1 metric ton. These people are deranged and sick. They and I guarantee you Bill Nye is not some impoverished guy. And I don't know who the expert was he had on, but they want to encourage a change in our norms. What would those norms be, Jason? What do you think those norms would be? Eat less, drink dirty water, just lower your standard of living so that you look like a third world victim. Here's some more signs from the Climate Change March. System change, not climate change. Revolution. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. No, drive out the Trump-Pence regime. Enough! So, this is what goes on. And this was to also, I believe, commemorate Trump's 100th day in office. They make no sense. The puppets they have on the ground carrying these signs, I shake my head. I think they believe these lies. I don't know what else to believe. But and a lot of the, it's not just millennials in these. The pictures of these protesters run the gamut. And yeah. So we had our own little climate change yesterday. We had, the snow was supposed to start Friday night and dump us with a foot of snow out of town and in town. What was it, 4 to 8 inches? And everything was canceled, and I guess in town it didn't get too bad. I even, yesterday morning, I broadcast on Facebook, hey guys, what do the roads look like in town? Because I need to send my daughter, she has a commitment, and I need to know if I can actually send her out. And everyone's all, oh, the roads are great, they're fine. And as best I could tell, everything was clearing up, but that darn climate change, it did it to us again. I sent my daughter out on the roads, and she had a commitment she had to go to. And I sent her out in a four-wheel drive truck. Granted, it's a little bit older truck, but it's four-wheel drive. Rear-wheel drive when four-wheel drive is not engaged. And she texts me when she's heading home, and I realize it's taking a while for her to get home, and the phone rings. And I knew something had happened. So I pick up the phone, and Mama, I just went off the road. I did a 180. I don't know what I was doing. I was only going 20 miles an hour. I said, okay, I'll be right there. So my other daughter and I get into my other four-wheel drive truck, and I've got toe straps thinking, okay, you know, I don't really want to be an impediment in the road in case, you know, I cause a pileup, but I'm going to go ahead and be prepared in case there's a place where I can pull her out if need be. I had asked her, you know, can't you just put it in four low and pull out? And she's 17. She's never gone off the road before. This was very traumatic for her. Well, it took me less than 10 minutes to catch up to where she was. Of course, the roads were sheer ice. The wind's blowing. The snow's falling. You would not know it was the end of April. This is December weather. So I park the truck I'm in to catch up, and I pull up to where my daughter is, and there's a tow truck in the road with its lights shining. And then there's a Jeep in front of the tow truck, and then there's my daughter's truck. Well, wouldn't you know, two good Samaritans found my daughter as soon as she slid off the road. The guy in the Jeep got out a chain, pulled my daughter out of the ditch. The guy in the tow truck had also offered to help. And so I'm seeing this happen, and I figure, okay, I'm going to get out, and I'm going to go drive her home. She's too traumatized. Well, yes, she is traumatized because I get out of one car. I'm walking along the road hoping I'm not the next pedestrian fatality and another slide off the road. My daughter that went off the road starts driving. And granted, 10 miles an hour, but I can't keep up with her. So yesterday, out in the country, there's this woman, that would be me, running in through the blizzard trying to keep up with her daughter in a truck going 10 miles an hour. Well, the tow truck driver saw me and rescued me, took me to my daughter. We got home okay. Turns out four-wheel drive doesn't work in my truck, so I'm going to have to go get that fixed. But I want to give a shout-out to the two good Samaritans. This is the kind of thing that just makes you feel good. Yeah, I don't know who the guy driving the Jeep was, but if by some chance you're out there, thank you for pulling off and rescuing my daughter in the middle of a snowstorm. And Sniper Towing and Recovery, owner is Jared Kiesler. That is the tow truck driver who was out looking to help folks who had gone off the road. He wasn't out there just by chance. He was looking around for other folks that were going off the road. So shout out to Jared. Thank you so much for being the second good Samaritan in the story last night and for helping my daughter. We did get home safely, and that's the end of my spring storm climate change global warming story. And so that's what happened. And we're going to be talking about something kind of very, very disturbing going on in Denver. There's a movement to reduce criminal penalties so that Trump can't deport the illegals. More about that in a moment.
You're listening to the Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR. Depend on it.
Okay, I'm at 719-540-0740. If you have any interesting climate change, global warming, spring storm stories from the weekend, give me a call. Climate March was yesterday in the middle of the storm. Hilarious. The left is always contradicting themselves. They're always making themselves look like fools, and they never seem to care because they know it's not about climate change. They know it's about using big government to control you and me. And just like Bill Nye, the science guy, said, penalizing our success of having, you know, multiple children, which are a total gift, and trying to guilt us into thinking that our prosperity is a stain on the fabric of the world. And how we need to be as humbled as the poor children in Nigeria who only emit 0.1 metric tons of carbon. You gluttonous 16 metric ton per child society. Can you believe he'd even say that? That we should penalize large families. All right, but that's where we are. All right, disturbing news coming out of Denver. You know that Trump wants to defund sanctuary cities, right? Sanctuary city is any municipality that does not cooperate with immigration and will not help deport the illegals that Trump said he's going to deport. Little bit of background. It's background and it's going on at the same time. Judge William Orrick III is a federal judge, and on Tuesday of this week, he blocked Trump's order to withhold federal funds from sanctuary cities. This is different from the three judges who have blocked Trump's immigrant moratorium order from the seven terrorist nations. So that's a completely different executive order. This executive order is Trump saying, well, any city who tries to hide the illegals that I am trying to deport is not going to receive federal funds. All right. So Judge Orrick, he's in the Northern District of California. he issued an injunction against the Trump administration because San Francisco and Santa Clara out in California sued because the president wants to withhold these funds. And they're saying, of course, what is the buzzword? That it's unconstitutional. Well, I could make the argument that federal funding at all is unconstitutional, so watch where you walk on that one, folks. But this judge that ruled, this is like a banana republic. We have got, is the term rogue correct? We've got judges who care nothing about the rule of law. They all have a political agenda, and they make rulings based on what they think Trump's thinking or because of something Trump said. Not has nothing to do with the orders he puts forward, and it has nothing to do with constitutional rule of law underlying any of it. And this judge is no different. He said that Trump's order targeted broad categories of federal funding for sanctuary governments and that the plaintiffs challenging the order were likely to succeed in proving it unconstitutional. And this decision blocks the measure for now, so now it has to work its way through the courts. And this judge is the same judge who issued a restraining order against the guy who was making the undercover Planned Parenthood videos, the guy who was so easily getting Planned Parenthood to admit that they're butchering babies and selling their parts. This judge is the one who issued a restraining order against the undercover investigator in 2015. He also raised about $200,000 for Obama and donated more than $30,000 to groups supporting him. And he raised money for Senator John Kerry. This is from the insider FoxNews.com. So this is pretty crazy judicial stuff going on. Obama definitely fundamentally transformed things, wouldn't you say? Very, very disturbing. The judiciary takes a while to clean out and depends on, like we know, who's in the presidency at the time. But closer to home, this gets even more disturbing. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock wants to, in the name of not calling his city a sanctuary city, but in making his city a sanctuary city for illegals, he wants to rewrite penalties for criminal violations. He wants to enact hate crimes laws and other programs to reassure immigrants that they are safe in Denver. Now, remember, there's a difference between immigrants and illegals, and I'm trying to use the terms very carefully. He calls them immigrants, and that's not who we're talking about. So the left has painted this with a broad brush. They've painted this entire discussion with the broad brush of immigration, and we're talking about illegals. We're talking about here people who are here illegally, and Trump himself is specifically talking about illegals who have a criminal record, not just the criminal record of being illegal, but who have committed crimes that have given them an actual record of crime. So Mayor Michael Hancock's administration wants to split these misdemeanors, and there's a table here. I got this from Denver Post. They want to take criminal ordinance violations and create three tiers for them. The top level, according to the Denver Post, would be crimes that are, and I'm going to quote, still subject to up to a year in jail and the maximum fine. And why are they talking about a year in jail? Because if you have a criminal record that gives you a penalty of 365 days or more, that's when the sheriff's department's notified. That's when local law or the, not local, yeah, it is local and higher law enforcement get notified of who's committed this crime. And that's when ICE can come in and take these illegals and deport them. So the mayor's looking to reduce sentences to 364 days or less to protect these people. So the top level, listen to this. They want these top level crimes that are make them still subject to up to a year in jail. So the only ones who would get flagged for deportation possibly would have to include sexually motivated offenses, repeat domestic abusers, repeat crimes against at-risk people. And this is where the proposed hate crime sentencing enhancement comes in. It's an enhancement. The hate crimes part is an enhancement. That would boost the lower category offenses, such as graffiti or an assault that's motivated by race, religion, sexual orientation, to the top level. Do you see what he's just done? I haven't even described the middle level and the bottom level. So remember, there are three tiers. I've just given you the top level. These are the people who would still get a record that ICE would pick up on their radar. When we come back from the break, I'm going to go into this in more depth because this is happening less than 60 miles from where I sit. And the Denver mayor wants to give special treatment to people who are here illegally when they're criminals so that they can stay here. And he wants to do it because he wants it to be more equitable. And he wants it to be a less than a one-size-fits-all. Now, isn't that contradictory? We're going to talk more about that. This is infuriating. Stay tuned. You want to know. This is happening pretty much in our backyard, my friends.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
Okay, give me a call at 719-540-0740. I am here to tell you what big media won't. And again, I won't even have time tonight. You should see my stacks of topics here. But we're going to have fun anyway, knowing that we're right and we're fighting the right fights. And I was telling you before I left on the break about some really disturbing goings-on in Denver, how the Denver mayor is working very hard to decriminalize illegals and kind of flip it around and criminalize the rest of us. But during the break, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Jason, my producer, and I were talking about Bill Nye the Science Guy. If you were listening in the first segment, we played a clip where Bill Nye the Science Guy wants to penalize those of us in industrialized societies for having more than two kids because our two kids, they each emit 16 metric tons of carbon. And the poor kids in Nigeria, they aren't a problem. They'll have seven kids in a family, and they only emit 0.1 metric tons of carbon. And, you know, it's just, you know, well, let's just all turn into third world country here. And I knew that Bill Nye, the Science Guy, was on PBS, but I stopped watching PBS when I think I was probably 8 years old. It's a long time ago. So Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is kind of new to me. Jason, though, on the other hand, had some nice input. He showed me a picture and explained to me that Bill Nye the Science Guy used to be legit. Tell me more.
Yeah, Bill Nye was on PBS most of the weeks when I was a kid in the 90s. And that's what we watched with PBS. So we grew up with Bill Nye, Beekman's World, a lot of these science shows. And we grew up, he taught us that genetics, your chromosomes, gave you a male or female gender. And that's what did it.
Science, like
yes.
Real factual
yes.
Science.
That's what I grew up with every day. I was like, okay, cool. And I think it ran through most of the 90s, and he went away, you know, did his own science thing. And now he has a show on Netflix, and it's more aimed at my generation because we grew up with Bill Nye. So, yeah, of course we want to watch Bill Nye, but now he's has this whole different, like, viewpoint.
He's over the top. Well, there was a video. Thank you, Jason, because yeah. I knew he was probably on PBS. I mean, I knew he was. I didn't know he went that far back, and I didn't know he was that factual at some point. There was a video that I caught this week where he had on his stage some performers talking about what you just discussed. It wasn't that gender was determined by chromosomes. This is a song that talks about how you're going to have to edit it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
It's a woman singing with a few other people and describing how even though you might have one set of reproductive parts, you're not limited by that. And she goes into graphic detail. So We'll see if we can put that on. It might be a bit too much for my listening audience, but we'll see. I'll have you look at that, and you can get back to us, Jason. So anyway, a little bit of more experienced eyes from the Bill Nye the Science Guy topic. We're going to go back to Denver. Okay. So, you know, Trump has been saying he's going to defund the sanctuary cities. Anyone that gives safe harbor to illegals is going to lose federal funding. And of course, a federal judge, a corrupt federal judge, a corrupt banana republic federal judge who loves Obama and all his leftist friends and who wants to shut down free speech of journalists who uncover Planned Parenthood butchering babies, that judge put a halt to Trump's executive order defunding sanctuary cities. Well, let's get back to Denver. And the Denver mayor has come up with a creative way of avoiding being called a sanctuary city. So he's going to rewrite criminal penalties so that immigrants, in his words, are not on the radar. The catch is that penalties that are more than 365 days or more, anyone with that kind of a penalty on their record is who gets flagged and caught under on the radar of ICE. All right. I don't know the technicals, the specifics of how they get from that criminal record to ICE, but that's how it generally works. So the mayor's goal is to reduce criminal penalties so that illegals, specifically so that illegals, not just criminals, illegals who commit crimes aren't flagged for deportation. So, oh, and he's not only doing that, he's flipping it so that not only do illegals who commit crimes have special criminal codes, but those of us who exercise free speech, now we get the over 365-day criminal penalty. This is beyond American, all right? So before we went to the break, I was explaining to you how the mayor wants to break down the three tiers of crimes. Apparently, all the crimes, basically, that they're talking about have 365 days and more of penalty. But they're breaking it down into three tiers. The top level is crimes. It still will subject folks to a year in jail. So the red flag would go up for ICE. And the maximum fine, it includes sexually motivated offenses, repeat domestic abusers. So go ahead and hit her once, hit her twice. Three or four times we might come and get you and give you over a year in jail. All right? Isn't that sick? And crimes against at-risk people. So again, he's doing the special rights thing. In tandem with that, he's proposing hate crimes sentencing enhancement that would boost lower level category offenses such as graffiti or an assault that's motivated by race, religion, sexual orientation, and bring those up to the top level. So at the top level of crimes, the illegals would get bumped down to less than 365 days, and anybody who says something that, and you know, the free speech people, those hate crimes go up to that top level. So it's switched over. The middle level of crimes includes shoplifting, trespassing, the first or second instance of domestic violence, and simple assault that would be newly eligible for a maximum of 300 days in jail and a $999 fine. So the middle level of crimes that would no longer be flagged by ICE include shoplifting, trespassing, the first or second instance of domestic violence. How great does that have to be, my friends? Seriously. And simple assault. So if you're assaulted and it's defined as a simple assault and it happens to be an illegal, they're not going to get flagged for deportation. Then there's the bottom level. This one, this was interesting. This includes petty offenses such as public urination, curfew violations, and unauthorized camping, sometimes used against the homeless, This would merit less severe maximum jail time, up to 60 days and a $100 fine in some cases. What caught my eye was the public urination part. So that's not going to be flagged for the 365 days. Isn't that kind of symbolic that the illegals would, you know, kind of like to rub that in your face? Isn't that kind of a symbolic gesture of, you know, I can do this anywhere and you can't stop me? It's just filth and disgust. So this is what the Denver mayor is proposing, and the city council seems to be in agreement with him from what I can see. So that's going on less than 60 miles from where I sit. It's really, really disturbing. And we've got a caller here. It looks like he's got some information. Albert, how much time do we have for Albert? All right. Albert, thanks for calling on AM 740 KVOR. This is Michelle. What are your thoughts on what the Denver mayor's trying?
Ritter, former governor, was turned in by an ICE agent named Boras to a sitting representative named Beaupre, and they tried to railroad him, but they found out that he was doing his job by being a whistleblower talking to a representative. This was during the governor's race a few years ago.
Okay, start over.
And one person they picked out was somebody who had been convicted, or he'd been arrested for heroin distribution.
Uh-huh.
And they reduced it to trespassing on farmland in Denver County.
So this was during Ritter's governorship, but it was during an
election? His governorship when he was running, he was a city attorney for Denver or a district attorney for the county. I don't remember exactly what it was. But the ICE agent reported his name was Boras, and he was convicted of violating privacy. But then they found out but the jury let him go, basically, because it's his job to report any malfeasance like that. Now, the first question is, why did Ritter allow this guy to avoid jail time? And how the heck can you trespass on and do agricultural trespass in Denver County?
You know,
this is ringing
a bell. Go ahead.
How long have you been doing this on Sundays?
How long have I been doing this? August of 16. I think it's been a few months.
Well, I don't usually drive home this late at night, but you should go in and sit in the morning one time if you get to talk to Victor and say, hey, you know what you do with Jeff? Tell everybody I'm here too. And I really like your point of view, and I wish I'd have found out about you sooner.
Oh, Albert, thanks. I got to tell you, that makes my head blow up pretty big in the studio here, and I appreciate your feedback. Thanks so much for calling. I'm going to, what you're saying about this instance with Ritter, it is ringing a bell. I think I may have even written a blog post about this several years back. I'm going to have to go and look, but yes, you're getting my gears turning, going back into my personal archives, and there was some hanky-panky going on with Ritter and illegals, but I appreciate you telling me that.
Well, the fun part is they took the entire narrative instead of Ritter was letting an illegal alien go for agricultural trespass when he was distributing heroin to, how dare Bob Beaupre use his office to get this information from a sitting ICE agent, and they made it sound like Bob Beaupre's called the guy and said, hey, do you got anything on Ritter? And that was an error that caused Beaupre the election.
Got it. Okay. Oh, gosh. The corruption and the insanity that goes on. Well, thank you for your input. So this has been going on a while. And are you nervous about what could happen having this go on so close to us here in the Springs?
You know, I thought they made something about this when they founded the country called the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
I'm not really worried about those guys trying to come down and bring their stuff because we can shoot back.
Well,
now,
you know,
Denver, not so much.
Did you hear how he also wants to propose a hate crimes sentencing enhancement? What you're saying, you know, just be aware, because you and I, who want to exercise our God-given rights, this is being penalized in this narrative that it's a hate crimes sentencing enhancement that would boost lower category offenses or an assault motivated by race, religion, sexual orientation to the top level. So it's
they've got a cop in Detroit. I forget. I got a picture on my wall. There, she was charged with assaulting somebody. This guy got on a bus, refused to pay, was all obnoxious, almost beat her and her partner up. The guy was six-something, 300 pounds. He was coming after her, so she pulled a gun and shot him once, and he said, okay, I quit.
Oh, gosh.
She is being charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
Of course. Albert, thanks for calling, and I hope to hear from you again, and you drive safely out there.
All right. Thank you much.
Thanks, Albert. Bye. All right. More about Denver and what's going on. It's going to affect us in the very near future, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR.
All right, we're back. Give me a call at 719-540-0740 if you have any feedback on anything we're talking about. We've talked so far about the spring storm. We've talked about climate change and how it's really all about hating you and me and our precious children and how dirty we are for polluting the environment with our successful prosperity and our multiple kids. And now we're talking about the more disturbing, closer to home element of the Denver mayor, who is coming out and saying he wants to make criminal penalties more equitable and less one size fits all, so that ICE cannot flag illegal aliens who are committing crimes for deportation. And the big kicker here is, if you commit a crime in Denver, this is my understanding, if you commit a crime in Denver and your penalty is 365 days or longer, then you have a record that can be tracked and traced by ICE somehow or another. So the Denver mayor and his city council have come up with this great idea of reducing sentences on many crimes, like over half of them, so that the illegals don't get deported, don't get flagged for deportation. And on the same token, they are proposing a sentencing enhancement for hate crimes. Don't you love that? A sentencing enhancement for hate crimes. Equitable punishment and a less than one size fits all. None of that's even consistent logically. And I'll get into that in a moment. If you follow me on Facebook, you saw that I really ranted about this morning or yesterday morning. I couldn't quit posting on it. I would post on it, walk away, think of something else, post on it again. Just, it's so close to home. These are people that we drive past on the interstate, or when you go to Denver, they're within your proximity. It's just one of those things that really, how can this be happening in my state? Oh, I know how. Because we're just a total leftist state anymore. But anyway, did you know, speaking of illegals, we've got a, according to the, let's see, KRDO, headline was Undocumented Denver Woman Makes Time 100 Most Influential People List. Well, first of all, undocumented is cream puff for illegals, okay? But Time Magazine awarded to an illegal woman who's been living in the basement of a Denver church for the past 65 days. It's actually been about 7 days longer. This is about a week old. She's been named one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Time Magazine. Her name's Jeanette Vizguerra. I'm sorry, I butcher foreign names. She took refuge at the First Unitarian Church of Denver in mid-February as ICE sought to deport her. Now we've got churches bucking the system. She came to the U.S. from Mexico in 97 with her husband and eldest daughter. Play the violins. And she's been living here undocumented, illegally, and has three U.S.-born children under the age of 12. And she's being honored by Time Magazine for her 20 years of activism for immigrants' rights. So breaking the law is being celebrated by our big media. Lawbreaker, most influential person in America. That's what they should have written on this. We've got Jerry on the line. Hi, Jerry. Thank you for calling on AM 740. How are you?
I'm doing good, and it sounds like you're fired up, too, which is good.
Yeah.
I want to thank Albert for calling in. I keep praying that more and more people are going to call in, so you'll be on more than one night a week.
Oh, thank you.
Because those shows that they have on about all these people that are
the illegals,
The what?
Aliens?
No, the ones that are on TV, on KVOR the rest of the week, are these people that talk about mediums and all those things like that. And it would be so much nicer if they could let you.
Oh.
You have a couple of more days.
But well, thank you, Jerry.
The reason I really hope you could do that. But the reason I'm calling, okay, so my grandson lives in Denver, and what if he commits one of these crimes? What is his punishment going to be? Is it going to be equal to the aliens, or is his going to be different?
Well, and that's the interesting part, because...
How can they do that?
Yeah, somewhere in the Post article here, it said that Hancock is confident that he's within his right to change the sentencing structure because state law sets a maximum one-year penalty for local offenses but allows each jurisdiction to fine-tune the bounds. That's according to the article, according to Mayor Hancock. Now, is that true or not? I need a lawyer to call in and tell me that because that's not my area of expertise. But they're considering it this Wednesday. Let's see. It's set to consider the sentencing proposal to restructure sentencing and to add a hate crimes enhancement. That's triple disturbing. At 10:30 a.m. Wednesday in room 391 of the Denver City and County Building, and the committee will, quote unquote, allow some public comment, unquote. Well, how can they do it? Well, Jerry.
If they start doing it in one place, though, that means they'll start doing it in other cities and towns.
Yes.
And it'll just be going all over our country.
Yes.
Something that none of us want.
Yes. And that's my concern, too. That's why if this was out in Philadelphia, it would still bother me. But
it's 60 miles away.
It's 60 miles away, and these people drive. You know what the traffic's like between Denver and the Springs, because people commute.
Yeah.
And we're becoming a very closely linked set of cities. And the left hates Colorado Springs, and they move here, with the intent of upending conservatism and changing things. And they've done a pretty fantastic job, I might say.
Unfortunately.
They have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very concerning. It's concerning that there needs to be a public outcry, and I don't live in the Denver area to try to get people rallied up around this. But, you know, when we try to do something, you know, change a law to fit our ideals, what does the left do? Now,
oh, my gosh, it's all over everywhere, and everybody's coming against us if we try to do it. The thing I really am concerned about is I don't see how that we can have a country. If they're going to divide us in our laws, then we're going to have a divided country forever here in all kinds of things.
Well,
so
yeah.
I just think that somehow things have got to be, we people who need to fight against them better start fighting, because we're going to have a whole different life.
Yeah.
Our kids are going to have... They're the ones that are going to suffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obvious.
It's really disturbing. I will tell you, when I think about doing my show, I want to come forward with solutions, and I just can't always come up with solutions because you look at it and it's so multifaceted. We're so far away from our founding. And honestly, Jerry, this is supposed to be a constitutional republic, which is representatives from the citizenry running things. And sadly, that's the people running things are a reflection of the people at large. So it's a bigger problem than, dare I say, that elections can resolve.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for calling, Jerry. Thank you for
bringing
your support.
It up, honey, anyway.
And, I am going to be talking about an Oregon parade that was canceled because of the threat of violence against the parade participants.
Yes.
So I'll be talking about that.
I'll be listening.
All right, Jerry. Thanks. Have a great evening.
Honey.
All right.
Good night.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment here on AM 740.
You're listening to the Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR. Depend on it.
All right. I'm back telling you what big media won't. Call in at 719-540-0740 if you want to join in the conversation. We've been talking about a lot of things tonight. We're going to switch gears just momentarily. A little trivia. I like throwing in the fun trivia once in a while. I threw out this question to my kids. There was a survey done in the UK, and it was a survey to find out about how people do work around the house. This is not political in any way whatsoever, but we can make it that way, trust me. They surveyed about 2,004 people across the UK in February and March about their habits and roles at home. They found that 1 in 5 adults in the UK cannot do this simple household task. And if I could interact with you and get you on the blinds, I would ask you to take a guess, because that was really fun to do with my kids. They finally boiled it down because I kept telling them, no, no, no. 1 in 5 adults in the UK can't change a light bulb. And you're saying, oh, that's not true. Yes, it's true. That's what the survey came up with. And they can't boil an egg either. So Jason, my producer, said these people are just trying to fit in with the Nigerians, who are emitting less metric tons of carbon per year, because if they can't change a light bulb, they won't use a light bulb, right? So, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was really worth sharing. I'm glad. I hope that none of the adults in America can't change, or can, what am I trying to say? I hope all the adults in America can change a light bulb. I'll be really disturbed if we can't. Maybe we should do a survey, right, Jason? Or maybe I shouldn't be busting on the UK. But anyway, so yeah, we just wrapped up talking about Denver, the Denver mayor, who this Wednesday, the city council is going to allow limited public comment about changing the criminal penalties so that illegals don't get flagged for deportation by ICE. Very, very disturbing. But tell you what, there's some good news. Aurora, where are my notes here? This is from the Aurora Sentinel. Aurora officials moved ahead at a city council policy committee meeting this past Wednesday with a resolution declaring Aurora is neither a sanctuary city nor a sanctuary jurisdiction. So, Aurora's pretty close to Denver. As far as I'm concerned, when I'm in that whole area, it's all Denver. So it's not all going to be a sanctuary city if they pass. And here's another kind of non-political tidbit of information. This was really disturbing. Really, really disturbing. In Elbert County, there was a wild animal sanctuary called Lions Gate. And they had tigers, lions, bears, and other miscellaneous animals. And they euthanized 3 lions, 3 tigers, and 5 bears on April 20th. Why? Because they approached the Elbert County commissioners and asked for permission to move their sanctuary to a slightly more populated area, apparently with more horses, more of an equine community. And the commission unanimously denied that. Apparently it was a second time. Well, best I can tell, the owners of this sanctuary went on a passive-aggressive heinous killing spree and euthanized these beautiful animals. And they said they did it because the Elbert County commissioners forced them to do it. Because supposedly there was flooding in the region and they just could not afford to move these older, elderly animals from one cage to another to get to high ground during flooding. And I went and I looked at the Facebook posts and I saw the Elbert County commissioners' response. There are other sanctuary organizations in the state who have spoken up and said, we would have taken these animals. This was senseless and heinous. It really was. Can you imagine a conservative who cares about the environment and animals? Oh, yes, it does happen, my friends. This has been eating on me all week long. I don't know why it's bugging me. I think it's just that it's so close to home. These animals were, I don't know, is Elbert County 60 miles away from El Paso County? They're in the same region, and these people euthanized these beautiful animals. And their response was juvenile, it was full of blame, and I have an acquaintance out there who shared with me the Elbert County Commissioner's response, and they flat out denied it. They never once forced these people to do anything of the sort. And apparently, the sanctuary owners never said, well, if you don't allow this, we're going to go have to euthanize our animals. So there was no kind of warning. It was just a spiteful, heinous act, and they senselessly took the lives of these animals. Of course, I told my kids, and they're all, there's got to be something that can be done. Well, there's not. The Colorado Parks and Wildlife Department told Denver 7 they were aware of the euthanasia and the burial and said that no regulations were violated. So, bugs me. But anyway, there are people out there who, you know, I don't like big government. And you know that. There are people out there who share the same sentiment, but they don't share a founding in principles about why they don't like big government. They kind of just want to blame somebody for something, so big government is the easiest target. And in this case, these spiteful people took the lives of these beautiful animals and so that they could blame Elbert County County Commissioners. So anyway, I think that's pathetic. It's trashy, and I'm very sorry that it happened. Meanwhile, in Texas, the Texas House passed an anti-sanctuary bill that has provisions to make it a crime for sheriffs and chiefs of police who refuse to cooperate with ICE. So here in Colorado, we've got this flimsy ideology going on where we're going to criminalize the people who speak about it, and we're going to keep all the illegals safe. They're going to come rushing in. And Jason reminded me, we talked about what happened in Sweden. Sometimes I'll mention Sweden. I've been there. I've experienced Sweden's brand of socialism. And since then, I've been very tuned into what goes on over there. And Jason reminded me over the break that a couple months back, I was telling you all about some women who were in Swedish leadership government positions who had to leave the communities they lived in because they did the exact same thing that the Denver mayor's doing. Maybe not exact, same idea, though. Decriminalizing the criminals. And these women were part of a government that brought in the Muslims and just let the Muslims take over the smaller communities and became larger communities to where there were no-go zones. These women who wrote the laws and or advocated for the laws have tried to negotiate with the Muslims and have been chased out of their own communities. Jason was saying that's what's going to happen in Denver. And it is. You're going to coddle criminals? And you're going to criminalize the citizenry for speaking up about them? Good luck with that. And we've already got a downtown, a beautiful 16th Street Mall. I used to hang out on the 16th Street Mall. Years back, I took my kids just to see what a cool downtown looked like. I won't set foot there now because the vagrants have taken over. And they beat people. Jason?
If I remember right, the part of that story in Sweden was the way they tried to get past it was they held meetings at coffee shops,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Denver coffee's pretty good, right? Maybe that'll convince all the immigrants to not be mean to U.S. citizens.
There you go. All right. So Denverites, if you're not going to go protest on Wednesday at the city council meeting, and if this passes and if the illegals start flooding in and criminalizing your neighborhoods, go have coffee with them.
Start getting really good at making coffee.
There you go. Exactly. This is the lunacy of the left. And but in Texas, they're not having anything to do with it. God bless Texas. I'm telling you. So back to Texas. They're going to make it a crime by a vote of 94 to 53 through the House. This passed through the House. The purpose of the legislation is to protect Texans from criminals who are here illegally. We're trying to make sure those bad actors are detained until we can determine their status. This comes from House Administration Committee Chairman Charlie Green, Republican from Fort Worth. He said, this bill will not affect law-abiding citizens, only those that are in trouble with the police. Well, golly, that all just makes perfect sense. It doesn't affect law-abiding citizens. only those that are in trouble with the police. But here in Colorado, we're going to criminalize the law-abiding citizens and take off the radar those who are in trouble with the police. This is so backwards. God bless Texas. I'm from Texas, just so you know. Those are my roots. I'm just letting you know. I brought it here to Colorado. I am trying to affect change. We'll be affecting more change in just a moment.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
All right. We were talking about Denver mayor and how he's going to reverse criminal penalties so that illegals aren't on the radar anymore. And I suggested if I was in Denver, I would encourage people to attend the meeting where there's going to be, quote unquote, limited public comment. Now, I encourage a strong presence, a peaceful attendance, make yourself heard. But that's a different, the new rioters, the new occupiers, the leftists who are using violence at Berkeley and everywhere else, the left dares say that they're using the same tactics that the Tea Party used. No. Don't even go there. Here's the latest. Portland, Oregon. I think this is Portland. The 82nd Avenue of Roses Parade. So there's an event that's called the 82nd Avenue of Roses Parade. It was canceled because there were some threats made to the Republican float in the parade. Now, just right off the bat, I'm quoting from, I have several articles here. The first one is week.com. And I'm not sure exactly what kind of publication this is, but the subtitle, it says, right and left wing militias. We're getting set to brawl at this Saturday's 82nd Avenue of Roses Parade, so organizers canceled it. Note the emphasis on right and left-wing militias. All right? That's a complete, outright lie. Here's what happened. I printed out as much as I could to try to get to the source. The Multnomah County Republican Party was going to have a float in this annual parade, as they always do. And somebody somewhere got a nasty email from an email address called thegiver@riseup.net. I'm going to read the email to you. And does this sound like anything the Tea Party would do? I'm going to give you the rhetorical answer. No, it's not. But this is how the left is. This is going to infuriate you because it's going to show you that there's just no spine left in the world. Here's the email. Greetings. Trump supporters and 3% militia are encouraging people to bring signs that bring hateful rhetoric to the parade, and it appears you allowed them to register and have a place in the march. So this is to someone organizing the parade. Back to the email. You have two options. One, let them march. Two, cancel their registration. Ensure they don't march. So that's the peaceful part of the email. Next, they say, if you choose option one, then we will have 200 or more people rush into the parade, into the middle, and drag and push those people out, as we will not give one inch to groups who expose hatred toward LGBT, immigrants, people of color, or others. In case the message was not clear to you, this is a sanctuary city and state, and we will not allow these people to spread their views in East Portland. Okay, it goes on. This is from the I'm going to call it the Antifa, how do I explain it, whatever group. They're saying to the parade organizers, you have seen how much power we have downtown and that the police cannot stop us from shutting down roads, so please consider your decision wisely. Let us know your decision by Tuesday by emailing back. We will also wheat paste flyers across the march route, naming sponsors and holding them accountable for backing an event with this type of rhetoric, which may endanger future parades' ability to get sponsors. We'll also begin emailing groups who are participating in the march to inform them you are allowing a group of bigots to march in the parade. This is non-negotiable. We already have two events set up ourselves, and we will have enough people, tools, and tactics to shut down a parade. In fact, this is a walk in the park for us. We promise. There'll be no harm to anyone, but we will shut this down and prevent them from marching using nonviolent, passive blocking of their movement. That's the end of the email. Well, pretty threatening and intimidating. And of course, we're not going to, you know, they're not going to harm anyone, but they're going to, 200 people are going to rush into the parade and drag and push those people out. They're talking about the Republican Party float. That's it. There was no one else that was going to be there. And they're threatening to shut down the parade. They're threatening rioting and violence because they wanted the Republican float out. In the email, they referenced two groups, and I went and looked them up on Facebook, and they were just celebrating how they canceled the parade and how they were defending Portland from fascists at the Avenue of Roses parade. Are you tired of hearing about how the fascists are defending us from fascists and the violence and the threats and intimidation? You know, if it's as if that's not bad enough, what bothers me is that they canceled the thing. They canceled it. The local media changed it to make it sound like it was right-wing and left-wing militias who were doing this. And this was strictly, this was one of these was a college group, and one was an Antifa. I'm going to have to find those. I had them, but I want you to know who was behind these. And so an entire community cancels a parade because they're scared of a threat email like this. What have we come to when a Republican float can't be part of a parade for because we're afraid that we're going to have 200 violent protesters come in and drag people out? Why are we backing down? What have we come to? This is not the United States of America that I have been raised in, and I know Oregon is pretty liberal anyway, so I guess that shouldn't surprise me. But every victory these leftists have just emboldens them and gives them more courage to keep pushing and keep pushing. And I don't know who, we don't know who actually sent the email. Obviously, there's an email address, but we don't know where it's from. But the bullying has just got to stop. Now, speaking of that, do we have time for the audio from Pennsylvania High School? Okay, we've got, I will do that as soon as we come back from the break. We've got a lot of audio I want to share with you. We have a high school assistant professor or assistant principal rabidly verbally attacking. He's not physical, but he gets in these people's face. There's a 19 and a 16-year-old holding pro-life signs on a public school ground corner, and the assistant principal just gets completely rabid. You will be shocked at what he's done and said and says to these two teenagers. On Tuesday, there are members of a Yale graduate student union, and they started a hunger strike outside of the Yale University president's home because they wanted the school to start a collective bargaining process. Well, the problem was in their hunger strike, they gave themselves an out. In their little pamphlet, they said if they got hungry, they were permitted to leave to get something to eat. Well, apparently, the Yale Republicans thought this would be a really fun party to crash. So they started a barbecue on Friday night right next to these strikers and started barbecuing, you know, beef, hot dogs, whatever it was to, you know, counter-strike. So, you know, I think that's great. Go for it, student Republicans, because that is how you want to shame them into their stupidity and show them, you know, how incredibly bad it is. A little bit more university news. Harvard has the office of, okay, it's not LGBT anymore. Make sure you say it right. BGLTQ, student life at Harvard. They released a new school-sponsored guide telling students to fight transphobia and get the facts about gender diversity. And it was distributed, telling everyone that there are more than two sexes and that gender is fluid and changing. Someone's gender identity can be affirmed or expressed in many ways and changed from day to day. This is at Harvard. This is at Harvard. Our nation's brightest students are being told this and fighting for it, for goodness sakes. All right. More, we're going to be listening to this rabid professor at a high school in Pennsylvania when we get back.
You're listening to the Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR.
All right, give me a call at 719-540-0740 for any feedback. You want to join the conversation? We have covered a lot of ground tonight. We're going to go to one of my favorite topics. I like to highlight what's going on around the schools and universities around the country. We need to know what's going on. These kids are the future. Gosh, that's so cliche, but it has a scary connotation. So, what you're about to hear is it was an 18-minute audio. It was recorded by two pro-life teens in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Back on April 21st, the teens were 16-year-old Connor Haynes and 19-year-old Lauren Haynes, brother and sister. They were standing on the corner of a public school ground, and they strategically put themselves at a corner right after the school bell rang. So as students are leaving the school, parents and students, they're leaving one driveway in particular. So the traffic's backed up. People are at stop signs. They're waiting for traffic. So the pro-life teens picked that spot so that they could definitely, you know, have an impact with whatever sign. I don't know what their signs said, but I know they were pro-life and I know they're Christians. So they're standing there and they weren't being noisy or anything. The first part of the recording was just them standing there, and they're pretty quiet. You'll hear their voices in the audio. They're not noisy and obnoxious. They're certainly not violent. But listen carefully to the guy who comes out and verbally assaults them. It's the assistant principal of this public school, and he's very proud of his school. From what I read, it's supposed to be one of the better schools in the area. I don't know what that's based upon. That's just what I found. But I want you to hear what went on at this corner. So this is public property, and I'll try to give you a visual. You've got two pro-life teens on a corner right next to the stop signs, and the principal comes up, and during the video, he's a big guy, and he's got his back turned to the two pro-life teens, and he's facing the cars that belong to the students and parents who are leaving the school. It's as if he's trying to use his presence to block their view of these two teenagers. And so most of the time his back is to them unless he's talking to them. So we cut the video down very, very short and picked out the highlights. And it ends up with him in these teens' faces pretty close, probably spittling in their faces a little bit. But listen to it, because after I listened to him, I told Jason, this is the epitome of the left. It's what they want to be. It's what they want us to be. It's the kind of power they want to have over us and control they want to have over us. It's almost the perfect example of that classic clash between left and right, because it's so extreme. So let's listen to it.
That's fine.
I can also stand here. Hey, Cam, how you doing? Having a great weekend?
Sir, we're actually just exposing the Holocaust that's happening in America.
There's no Holocaust happening in America.
There actually is.
Talk about a Holocaust happening in America. Go into an inner city and talk to the poor and underprivileged.
Sir, these are the poor and underprivileged. These are the people that are being murdered. Sir, these are image bearers of God.
You can go to hell where they are too.
Okay, stop. All right. That right there, I have to point out the hypocrisy. So this boy is telling the principal he's talking about the Holocaust and how he's trying to save the lives of the unborn. This principal gets so upset. He says, "You can go to hell where they're going too." And he points to their signs. So I'm guessing they're maybe, I don't know, images of unborn babies. I don't know what the signs look like. What does that tell you right there? Did he not just admit that there's some kind of being in the unborn baby? Because he told the two pro-lifers they could go to hell just like the unborn. All right, so very interesting revelation. See, the left, if you let them talk long enough, they always reveal what's going on, and it's always, they hang themselves. But let's just keep listening.
See, you wish to hide what's happening.
No, I wish to protect my students from unsightly things that they don't need to see.
Sir,
my students, we do not have a single pregnancy in my school. I've been here for 5 years. Nobody's been pregnant. There not has been a single abortion. And you want to call me a liar while you're standing out here harassing teenagers.
I'm not harassing anyone.
You can go
get
a freaking lawyer.
These children are being murdered in our society.
They're not children. They're cells.
Stop. Okay. I may have you go back a couple seconds on that one, Jason, when we start up. Isn't it interesting? He thinks he knows the pregnancies and abortion rate of his high school. Really? Do you think that the students go tell him? Do you think that the schools have statistics of the pregnancy and abortion rates in their school? They don't. They don't. I don't think that's something that teenagers report. But here he goes. He's going to start his rabbit attack about the teenager again.
Society.
They're not children. They're cells.
They're children.
Go home.
It's been proven.
They are cells. You're at a science-based school. Those are cells.
It's been proven by science.
No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. Then take it out, and if it can live on its own, it's freaking awesome. Otherwise, shut up. Leave me alone. I will call the police for you harassing me.
Wow. You know, if the guy really believes what he believes, I don't think he'd be trying so hard to shut these people up. It's that classic conflict as you go through this. The left knows, it's my opinion, I'm of the opinion, the belief that the left knows that they're wrong. They just, and this guy epitomizes it. And he doesn't want it to be real. He doesn't want it to be true. So he is attacking them as viciously as he can without crossing a line so that he goes to jail. He's threatening to call the police on them. He can't. And the students are right. He can't. Anyway, let's hear some more.
He can set you free from your sin.
Listen here, son.
All right.
I'm as gay as the day is long and twice as sunny. I don't give a what you think Jesus tells me and what I should and should not be doing.
Ouch. Ouch. Well, like I said, I really do think he does give a bleep about what Jesus said. But, you know, that's, like I said, as Jason said, give them rope and they hang themselves. Keep going.
It's the truth. It's the gospel. He died on the cross.
Just because you choose to believe a book of fiction doesn't mean I have
to. It's not fiction.
Proof
it's
to
truth.
Me with science. No, you believe it does not make it true. You and Trump can go to hell.
And there you have it. You and Trump can go to hell. Is that all we have? We have a couple more clips. Keep going.
Our assistant principal.
Okay, the assistant principal wants to keep...
Shut your mouth and don't talk to my students. You do not have permission to speak and engage. No, you do not. You are harassing public school students, and I will call the police if you don't shut up.
You can call the police. I'm not doing anything against the law.
Then don't talk to my students.
Is that not the epitome of the left? They want to shut us up, and they don't just want us to shut up. They want to use the force of government to shut us up. He is verbalizing exactly where they want to take us. He wants the police to be able to come shut him up. And the guy, these two teenagers are standing on a street corner, quote unquote, harassing this principal's quote unquote children. That's really creepy. But one more.
Your teacher wishes to keep...
I am not their teacher.
Your principal.
And if you do not stop talking to my students, then don't talk
sir,
to my students.
Please,
do you not understand when I say, do not
sign,
talk to
sir,
my students? Do not.
Talk.
No, you
it's
do not.
Property,
no, you
sir.
Do not. Now when you're sir, on public property,
it's
no.
public property,
no,
sir.
No, it's not. That's not how it works. It's called a school. Look into your laws.
Sir, this is...
Wow. Is your anxiety level up, my friends? Yeah, mine is. That he was in that boy's face, and you could feel it in his voice. He was in his face, probably spitting in his face. He's so angry. These are just two teenagers with pro-life signs. That's it. That's it. You know, if it was a private school or a Christian school or just a more conservative school, like some of the ones here in Colorado Springs, and there was some leftist protester at the corner, you would never get this kind of response. Never. You know, we're of the mind that we believe in free speech, and it wouldn't be harassing. It's, this is the left. This guy is where the left is. He can't contain himself. He is rabid, and he wants to silence us, and he wants to use big government and law enforcement to do it. It reinforces what the Denver mayor is doing by proposing, what do we say, enhanced hate crimes, so that people who speak out against LGBT, against Muslims, etc., they go into the top tier of the criminal penalties, and they get flagged for whatever. So I wanted to share that with you. This is what goes on. This guy's running a public high school in Pennsylvania. What I didn't share with you was some of the people driving by weren't having much to do with it. One man at the stop sign actually got out of his car, put it in park, got out of his car, and came and got in this assistant principal's face and started cussing him out and for telling him to leave these two teenagers alone. That was a refreshing sight to see, because hundreds of cars are going by and they're not doing anything. So, you know what? Our people are out there. Our people are speaking up. And these two teenagers, that's not exactly how I would approach it, but there are people out there who will do that. And I got to tell you, they've got more guts than me. They'll stand there with their signs. They'll put up with this kind of abuse. And they will sit on a corner with their signs. And they'll speak the truth as they know it and as they believe it. And God bless them. More power to them for doing it. And he wasn't being harassing. And it kind of got comical as it went on, because he knew he was pushing this guy's buttons, and he very nicely kept pushing him a little bit more because he could. Guy put himself out there. All right, when we get back, I'm going to tell you about an event that's coming up this week. We're going to be joined by the Independence Institute fiscal policy analyst Joshua Scharf for just a few moments. Learn a little bit about what's going on with the Colorado State budget, and a little bit more after that.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
All right, we're going to talk about something a little bit different now. I have on the line with me a guy from the wonderful, incredible Independence Institute. Now, when the Independence Institute speaks, my friends, you really want to be paying attention. I have with me Joshua Scharf. He is a fiscal policy analyst at the Independence Institute, and he right now is heading up the PARA project. Joshua, thanks for joining us. How are you tonight?
It's my pleasure, Michelle. I'm doing great.
Good. Now, before we get started, what in the world is PARA?
PARA is the state's public pensions. And basically, it covers about 500,000 teachers or state government employees and the judiciary and some municipal employees.
Okay. Now, I'm not a public employee, and a lot of my listeners aren't either. So what is going on with PARA that would be important to me right now?
Well, the point of the meeting is to come up with point of this listening tour is to provide input to PARA so that it can come up with a menu of options to take to the state legislature to help solve this problem again. The last reform bill was in 2010, and so what they're going to do is propose additional reforms. This is your opportunity as citizens to have input into this and explain to them that you don't want a tax increase, you don't want it crowding out additional spending, that we need to be fair about how we solve this problem.
So PARA is going around on a listening tour?
Right. PARA is doing that themselves, and they're checking to see what people think. The idea is to give you and your listeners a chance to say what might be acceptable in order to fix this problem, whether that means reducing benefits, increasing contributions, some combination of that. God forbid a tax increase ends up on the ballot. So their goal is to see what kinds of things they might propose to the legislature to fix this.
So my question is, since I'm not a public employee, what is the risk of me not going to this meeting? What if all public employees show up and none of us non-public employees show up? What could happen there?
Well, what will happen is that PERA will go back and meet itself. You know, meet the board will meet, the administrators there will meet, and they will be able to report to the legislature that according to their listening tour, people are fine with having greater employer contributions and are very resistant to either cutting benefits or having employees contribute more.
Okay.
That's what will come out of it. You don't want to have that happen.
Why should I, as a non-public employee, care about PERA having an unfunded pension?
Well, the fact is that ultimately you, the taxpayer, your communities, the state, and the places where you live, your school district, are responsible for making good on these promises. And we can discuss all day what the proper role of government is, what it should be or shouldn't be spending money on, but we can't have that discussion at all if pension liabilities, pension payments, are crowding out other spending on things we do care about, roads, schools, bridges, infrastructure, those kinds of things.
Ah, so we run the risk of, if this gets taken care of without our input, that things that are important to you and me as non-public employees, like the roads or whatever it might be, those are going to be neglected in favor of the public employee pension that's currently needing more money, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And in 2004, in 2006, the legislature made the decision to increase employer, that is, taxpayer contributions, to the point where right now, the Falcon School District, in its most recent fiscal year, 10.5% of its operating expenses went to these public pensions. 10.5% went to these public pensions of operating expenses.
Wow. Okay. So this is quite concerning, and it's worth my time, it's worth my listeners' time to go to this meeting, because it's a huge chunk of money that could be we could be footing and could be going to something that we're not necessarily wanting it to, or maybe not in as much as huge amounts as they're seeking. When is the listening tour going to be here in the Colorado Springs area, and where? Tell my listeners the details.
Thursday, May 4th. That's this Thursday, May 4th, at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. at the Marriott on Tech Center Drive. The Colorado Springs Marriott on Tech Center Drive. PERA is having one of its meetings. It's a public meeting. Everyone's invited to attend, and people should go and ask tough questions.
All right. Joshua, will anyone from the Independence Institute be there to maybe help field some questions on the side, possibly?
I'm hoping to be there myself if I can make it. I certainly won't be part of the panel up front, but I will be there and happy to talk with people about this problem.
Okay. So just to repeat so my listeners understand, PERA is going on a listening tour. They're going to be in the Springs this Thursday, May 4th, at both 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the afternoon and evening. And everyone has an interest in attending this meeting and letting your voice be heard, whether you are a public employee or whether you are not a public employee. This will directly affect you and your own bottom line in some way, shape, or form. And when the Independence Institute, particularly the Independence Institute's fiscal policy analyst, speaks up and tells us to be there, it's critical that we be there and make our voices heard, friends. I am always looking for ways to get you and me involved at a level that really makes a difference. And if we can be at this meeting and tell the PERA listening tour what we think about this budget and how it's being dealt with, it goes directly to the state legislature, and that's how we affect change. So I hope that that you can be there, Joshua. I hope that there's a great turnout from my listeners and others alike. And thank you very much for bringing attention to this listening tour. And again, when the Independence Institute speaks, friends, let's listen. Thanks, Joshua, for joining us tonight.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Michelle.
Take care. And now we're going to be talking back to we've got just a few minutes left. I want to cover what happened yesterday at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and the White House guest of honor wasn't there. President Trump held his rally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, yesterday while the White House Correspondents' Dinner was going on. And he was so happy. He said, I could not possibly be more thrilled than to be more than 100 miles away from Washington's swamp, spending my evening with all of you and with a much, much larger crowd of much better people. And he called media outlets like CNN and MSNBC fake news. I don't have time to go into all the audio I wanted to share with you, but I do want to share with you a few of the comedian clips. There's a guy there. His name is Hassan Minhaj. And according to the White House Correspondents Association, they were delighted to announce that Minhaj, a brilliant comedian and senior correspondent on Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, will be the entertainer. Well, Jason pointed out to me that you're really not a correspondent if you're on a comedy show. So anyway, I'm going to share with you some clips from this comedian. This is supposed to be a White House correspondent dinner, so, you know, anyway, it demonstrates more how trashy the left has become. Listen to some of his clips here.
Mike Pence wanted to be here tonight, but his wife wouldn't let him because apparently one of you ladies is ovulating. So, good job, ladies. Because of you, we couldn't hang out with Mike Pence.
Can you believe that? Nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing is sacred. What a trashy thing to say. And I know they're supposed to, I know traditionally these are supposed to be funny. That was in the trash heap. Here are a few more from this brilliant comedian that the White House Correspondents' Dinner had.
Fox News is here. I'm amazed you guys even showed up. How are you here in public?
Really?
It's hard to trust you guys when you backed a man like Bill O'Reilly for years, but it finally happened. Bill O'Reilly has been fired. But then you gave him a $25 million severance package, making it the only package he won't force a woman to touch. Now, in O'Reilly's defense, he was told by a close friend, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Gosh, this guy is just from the septic tank of society. This is what was going on. And you know what? More power to Trump. I was glad he left in the first place, and I'm even happier now. Is there one more clip, or is there not time? There's not time. Well, I think that was enough for our... You might have to bleach out our ears and our minds after hearing that. There was another guy that stood up and vehemently, his name is Jeff Mason. He's the president of the White House Correspondents Association. He gave a very serious speech and he said, "We are not fake news." And how the media is very, very important to a free republic. He got it all wrong. He got it all wrong. These big media is so full of themselves. They can't even see straight that they have to have trashy comedy like that about the President of the United States. I the music's playing, so I'm going to have to go. I hate to leave. Got so much more to talk about, but I will be back next Sunday, 9 to 11 p.m. Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR. Have a great week, and I'm signing off.